This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
All right, let's do the question of the day here. NFL Draft Day, night one gets going on Sports Radio 610 at 6 with a little bit of pregame for it, right, with Texans Radio. And then 7 o'clock is when the pickings begins. Yes, the sound that we learned a little bit about. We learned a little bit. Shout out to Bob Christensen putting that thing together.
Yeah.
And all the years of that letting you know that, hey, listen up, things are happening. What are some of the things that you cannot wait to see tonight with the draft? 713-572-4610. Does not have to be football specific. Does not have to be Texas specific. What can you not wait to see tonight?
All right, look, we can talk, like, as you mentioned, football, non-football, some of the things that, on a serious note, before I get into some of the funny stuff that I can't wait to see, I love when the players' emotions come out. Like I may call me old school, call me a sap, corny, whatever. I mean, guys, this is it's not just because, oh, they won the lottery. No, it's dreams fulfilled, man. I mean, it's, to me, it gets me every year. It gets me every year.
How you feel about the ones that's already, like, you know, they're going to be picked number one overall, mm-hmm. and then they just, like, so surprised that they just start balling out?
Well, I don't think the reason I like it, that's part of the reason I like it. Like, let's go with Cam Ward. Everybody knows he's the number one pick in the draft, all right? And if he goes bawling, crying, that's because no one recruited him out of high school. He went to freaking Incarnate Word.
Hey, be a little – calm down with the way that you said that. You were bordering on disrespect for the way you said that.
All due respect.
There you go. That's how you make it palatable.
All due respect. Then he's bouncing around. Like, people told him, you cannot play this game at this level in college. And then – he's the number one overall pick. So that's why I think the emotion.
That might be a little different right there.
But a lot of them have those stories. You know, a lot of people have those stories.
And then that's one of the things that I can't wait to see is just how many of the, like, are we going to get to the point where it's trauma, you know.
His mother was a crackhead.
Yeah.
And his father left him at the age of three.
It gets uncomfortable for me personally with drafts at times and some other you know, various league type things because – as with anything, right, when you are telling a story, mm-hmm. you need to have stakes and you need to have hardships to overcome,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
And with a draft, which, if we're going to be honest, is a glorified HR meeting, right, where are the stories to be told is in the individuals. And you're right. Like, it's absolutely talking about the various guys and their trajectories and the stories there. Sometimes we can lean a little too much into the, oh, well, look at this trauma. Look at this trauma over here. No, there's trauma over here.
It gets contrived.
And so, that's also, like, will they be able to balance this well enough? That's always something that I'm looking for. It's like, are they able to make this so that we're not leaning so heavily into, look at all the terrible things that's happened to this young man, and maybe actually appreciate and celebrate the moment for them a little bit more than that.
And then there's the wives and girlfriends dynamic, which I just love that so much. I go back to Russell Wilson and his now ex-wife thinking she had won the lottery and the dude snatching the phone from his girlfriend, his burner phone.
CeeDee Lamb.
Yeah, CeeDee Lamb. that whole girlfriend and wife dynamic is just...
Honestly, I want to see the mamas because some of these mamas are looking... All right.
Oh, okay, I was going to see how disrespectful you were going to be.
Shout out to Zach Wilson.
Yeah, some of these mamas just like, oh, that's your mother? Yeah. Like, I thought that was his girlfriend.
Hear me out.
Oh, that's his mama.
Hear me out.
Figgy wants to find out which of these dudes can fight. That's what he wants to find out because one thing you know for sure, if you see some young man's mother and she is fine, you know he had to fight some of his friends for saying 100%. Something deeply disrespectful at some point.
And you know it's going to be one mama that stands out.
Oh, at least. Like,
oh, that's his mama?
At least.
from the 972, they said they can't wait to see Dallas trade back for next to nothing plus a box of donuts.
That's a good one.
That's a great one.
Who's going to get fleeced? Because that's one of the things that's kind of a novelty to this point with this draft in particular is that as of right now, everybody owned their own pick in the first round, which just doesn't happen nowadays.
Yeah.
And now we're getting more and more smoke to the degree that – or to the idea that – there will be some moves that are happening. And so who ultimately makes the move and who gets fleeced?
I can't wait. And it ties in with that. I can't wait for that one pick where everyone universally says, what the hell were they doing?
Last year was Michael Penix.
Yeah. What the hell?
What in the world?
Thinking? Because it's going to be across the board, but they think they've reinvented the wheel, you know?
Do you think that's actually possible this year in the first round? I hear you, but my question really falls within the context of this is a draft in which it feels like there are evident selections up to a certain point, probably like your first three are evident selections. And then after that, you just have largely a large pool of guys that I guess the experts, quote unquote, believe have a certain level of similarity when it comes to quality. It's just personal preference. You know?
Yes and no, because part of the reason that it's universally panned is because everybody's seen these mock drafts. So, I'm just happen to have open the wide receivers here.
Okay.
You know, so let's say Travis Hunter obviously is going high.
Oh, so if you have someone like a Mecca Buka going as the second wide receiver,
all of a sudden, Tet McMillan is on the board at whatever, 6, 7, whatever it might be, and they take Jalen Noel from Iowa State. That's going to happen.
By the way, he says his name is Jalen Noel.
Oh, he sure does, doesn't he? I did see that.
You said Noel?
Yeah.
Noel.
It's Noel. But that would be Tet McMillan was on the board and all. I mean, it's going to happen.
Yeah, somebody going to get picked a little earlier than expected, where you're going to be like, who's there? They grabbed him kind of early.
Yeah, but I feel like it'll be more surprise than panning necessarily. Mm-hmm. But we'll see how that ultimately plays out.
Do you think it'd be a moment like the Michael Penix Jr.? Moment.
I actually don't think that we're going to get one specifically. The
moment where you'd be like, what?
Yeah. The place where you might have that is quarterbacks because there's not a lot of quarterbacks that I think are widely regarded highly.
Yeah.
There's some, the last few weeks, there have been quarterbacks that people have kind of given some love to within the Jackson Darts, right? And you've been early on the Jackson Darts situation on liking him as a player. Could a team trade up or take him in the first round or something like that? I think is one of those things.
I will be shocked if, let's say, Jackson Dart go before Shedeur Sanders. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't be shocked as what are they thinking? That's a bad thing. But I would be shocked wow.
Right, yeah, it would be a wow moment. The other thing that I'm going to hate watch is...
Ooh, hate watch.
I'm going to hate watch. I can't stand the Roger Goodell fake hugs. I can't tell you
how the hugs are real.
Is it or is it for the cameras?
I mean, even if it's for the camera, the physicality of the hug.
Yeah, no, I think they're
really putting.
I think
the player side of the hug is real.
Mm-hmm.
Like they dapping him up. I think he probably just rolling with.
Roger Goodell does it every year for one reason. Look, they love me. See, they all love me. No, they don't. They're happy they got drafted. He does it for him. Roger Goodell does it for him.
This is a good one that comes in on the text line from the 346. Which draft pick has the loudest suit? And that's kind of shifted a little bit. It felt like especially in the early aughts, and maybe this is more basketball, but I feel like this happened also in football. Mm-hmm. You got some crazy stuff, but now the stylists.
The stylists
are all in the game. And I guess we have gotten to where the guys like their style so much that they will do some kind of wild stuff, whether it's like high water pants or not wearing no shirt underneath their suit or have you, or various different things. So maybe, we will still see some maybe loud suits or just like interesting decisions when it comes to the way that they style themselves. But it feels like we have kind of tampered that back in a way where it's not as outlandish. But hopefully I'm wrong. Hopefully we get some really fun nonsense.
On a personal level, so we're gonna be at the draft party watching the draft. I wanna see Mark and Andre and John Harris whenever that draft pick is announced, because I never forget that the way they look or the way John Harris specifically looked when the Texans traded up. Because they remember they got CJ Stroud and then they traded up and got Will Anderson. His video, I got to find that video and tweet it.
I like John Harris explanations and breakdowns of the players, like even in the fourth and fifth and sixth round oh, this guy is a blah, blah. He gets so excited. He can do this.
He was so happy when they drafted Brevin Jordan.
Yeah.
Like, he was like, man, this was my number one tight end.
Tight end out of Miami.
On footballtakeover.com. He was hyped.
How about another thing that I like to watch is Jets fans when the pick is made.
Because they...
They're just slapping their forehead. Oh, no.
And I love that because what it belies is it's not really about the player. It's not like they've been doing all of the work to know that this player is a bad fit. That is just them inherently within themselves having a belief that our organization is so bad that whoever they pick, I know they're terrible. Like, I'm guaranteeing this person trash. Not because they are actually trash, but because the Jets thought it saw fit to select them.
Yeah.
And I find that to be deeply hair. Like, how strong a fan do you have to be to travel to Green Bay, Wisconsin, which is not a direct flight, mind you.
Yes.
Like, travel to Green Bay, Wisconsin, pay money to be there just so you can see the pick and know immediately I have no faith in it just off the strength of who they are.
Yeah, I like seeing the fan bases who team need a quarterback, and then they get to that pick, and they don't pick a quarterback.
What?
They pick like a center, and they be like, oh, my gosh, Shedeur Sanders was right there.
Like, or the ones that love it no matter what.
That's right.
The ones that are like the 28th, 29th pick, whatever, and like there's a very well-known player available, and they end up drafting
a center from SMU or something.
And they're like, yeah, that's the guy. That's the guy I wanted all along.
Which, to be fair, they're probably doing this right. Like, yes, a lot of people put in a lot of work on the front end to have some idea, but and maybe, you know, maybe I'm leaning too heavily into the Nick Caserio perspective of, nobody knows for sure. Like, you're lottery picks, and so why not operate on the contention of hope right now?
But like to use your example, Figgy, you know, some guard from SMU, they had no idea that person existed.
Everybody turns into Family Feud. Good answer. Good answer.
Yes.
From the 832, who's keeping track of that interesting count for Reggie? I don't know, but I'm pretty sure we're at like what, 7, 8, something like that. Yeah. If you want to keep track with it, go for it. I might. You know what? I might do the thing. You shouldn't have alerted me to it because I might do the thing where I do it too much now and really annoy you about it. Mm-hmm. So be careful. Be careful what you wish for. All right, you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, let's go around the NFL, including, I mentioned it, today is a day where the insiders start dropping a lot of stuff, especially as movings and shakings seem to start to transpire. Let's get into what some of those things are, including, and then also, rather, there's some bold predictions for what happens tonight. I want to get you guys' thoughts on it. We'll do it next.